The Outer Rim, the final frontier. These are the news stories of the Outer Rim. To explore strange new fandoms, to seek out new life and new science fiction, to boldly go where no fan has gone before.
Not good. Blast!
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me.
That's just great.
Now, discussing the news on the edge of fandom.
Set your hyperdrive motivator for full throttle.
Chewie, get us out of here!
We're headed to the Outer Rim.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Outer Rim. This is episode number 40. We're recording this on March 31st, 2016, and I'm joined tonight by my usual co-host, Eric. How are you?
I am doing pretty well. How about you?
I am doing very well, I think.
Now, this is going to be released on April Fool's Day. It is not an April Fool's joke that it's March 31st at the moment. And thus, we will have no April Fool's shenanigans.
Yes, no shenanigans that I know of.
Yeah. You know, here's what really upsets me. We've been talking for a long time now, especially on the Echo Base podcast, about having my wife on as a guest. And
right.
She normally works every Thursday night. Well, she has tonight off, and I was going to bring her on the show.
Oh,
and kind of surprise you with it, and at least random chatter, if not the Outer Rim, but she's sick.
Oh,
and so
sucks.
She's upstairs sleeping. Yeah. So that kind of fell apart. But I want to be clear. Everything that Lou and I are talking about tonight, to the best of our knowledge, is accurate. There's no April Fool's jokes. We're boring, lame.
Right. Yeah, we didn't make the show notes up during April Fool's, which would be dangerous. I just thought about that. If we were making show notes off articles on the internet today, you know, if it was April Fool's Day, I'd be really reluctant to do a show.
You know, it would probably be a better topic for random chatter than here on Outer Rim. But April Fool's Day really bugs me because as someone who does multiple podcast shows, I spend a decent amount of time each week going through and reading a bunch of different news stories, whether it be tech or movies or television or casting news or Star Wars or whatever. And on April Fool's Day, you kind of know, okay, oh, hey, that's really exciting. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably not true.
But, you know, if they're done clever.
There are some good ones.
I love some very clever April Fool's jokes.
Yeah.
But some of them, you're right, you can sniff them out way early and go, no, this is not really real,
Well, here's what gets me, though. I don't always get all of my web reading done on the first, so it'll be the third or the fourth. And I'll go and I'll read something, and it'll be like, oh, wow, that's got to be true. It's from a reliable source. And it's April 4th, so I'm not thinking about anything that's, April 4th is long gone by then.
Yeah, I can see how it would trip you up.
Yeah. But it's an article from 3 or 4 days prior. That's what gets me.
That would be a bad thing. You have to watch that for the next few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. But The Force Awakens comes out on April 1st, which I'm waiting for the bomb to drop that's an April Fool's Day joke.
Mm, well, only the digital release is coming out tomorrow, right?
Right.
So iTunes and any other digital sources you can download and stream from.
Yeah.
And I'm reluctant to buy that because I really want the physical disc.
You mean you're not doing both? I'm doing both.
You're doing both?
I have to have the April 1st. Okay, so here's the thing. Part of it is we need a new intro for Echo Base.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of show topics that we need to do. And I may actually have time this weekend to sit down and work on some of that audio stuff. Maybe. But the disc doesn't come out until next Tuesday. The following weekend, I'm not going to have a lot of time. So I need this weekend to get some of the work done. So I kind of have to get the iTunes version.
Okay.
But then I also want the physical version just to have it. Plus, it's got BB-8 on the cover.
Yeah. No, which version has BB-8?
Off the top of my head, I think it's the Walmart version that has BB-8. The Best Buy version has Kylo Ren and Phasma on the steelbook covers.
Mm-hmm.
Target has the exclusive downloadable content, of which there was a preview just posted today. And I'm guessing it's all a bunch of filler interviews like, oh, it was so exciting getting to work on the movie and stuff like that. The Disney store has some lithographs.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a yawn there.
And I think that's it. I don't think Amazon's got any exclusive this time around.
I didn't see anything for Amazon. I really like that BB-8 cover. That's probably the one I'm going to get.
Yeah.
But then I'm also thinking to myself, it's like, well, get the one that has the, you know, additional stuff that you want, because I'm never going to look at the cover. It's not like I haven't displayed somewhere. I'm thinking to myself, as much as I like that.
That's true. As much as I like BB-8, I'm not going to display, you know, and I've already got other BB-8 stuff on display.
But like you said, the downloadable content would be the one thing I was thinking would that would be the one I'd get. But you're right, it's going to be filler stuff because all the main stuff is on all the discs.
Right.
So, you know.
I still have my BB-8 exclusive sketch from Sarah Wilkinson that I got.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Did you get that framed yet and matted? And
it is the only copy of that sketch. There's no print made of it. There's no nothing. It's a one of a kind, unique thing.
It was a very cool drawing. Yes.
Very excited about that. But sorry, I had to brag to someone because I know our audio listening audience is going to be really excited about a visual
picture they can't see. Yeah,
talking about, yeah.
But now, do you have the exclusive BB-8 drink with the straw in it that I got on the cruise?
No,
you don't have one of those.
Punk.
Hmm.
Well, it's not. That's not exclusive to the cruise. You can get
that's
that
true.
That
was exclusive to Disney
World
properties. Yeah. But do you have one of those?
Moving right along.
Oh boy. Yeah. So, what else has been going on with you?
Well, you and I both have been, we started a new podcast that is not on the Random Chatter Network.
Yeah, we just had the reboot of Random Chatter. We got everything going, we got all kinds of new shows,
and then
now
we're
doing a show for somebody else.
Then we leave, and it's not even really an April Fool's joke.
It's not. No, but it's a lot of fun.
Oh, we should have totally used that as an April Fool's joke. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, so Nathan Chase from Flickchart, flickchart.com, decided to reboot the Flick Fights podcast from long ago, and he invited us to go along and do it with him. And we are online friends with Nathan. We're both very, very big supporters of flickchart.com.
Mm-hmm.
Big fans of the site. We've podcasted with Nathan before, back in the days of Lost Chatter, and
Lost
he used
Chatter,
to be on the
yep.
Random Chatter show with us.
And yeah, we've been talking about doing the reboot of Flick Fights for probably, a year now, I guess, roughly.
Yeah. Well, you and I had even talked about kind of doing our own thing that was similar to that. I mean, you know, paying respects to Flickchart, but basically kind of using Flickchart in the midst of our own little movie ranking show that we were going to do on our own.
Mm-hmm.
As kind of Flickchart fans. So it, and then never really got up off the ground, but it's kind of fortuitous for us that Nathan invited us along. So,
yes, we've recorded two episodes so far. Having a good time doing it. We're basically, if you're unfamiliar with the format or the website, it's basically we have a new account on Flickchart, which is for the three of us to do together. So we're building and ranking movies from our perspective, and maybe a guest we may have on from week to week. And we go through and find out each movie of what's good and what's bad and how should we add this movie in. Like last week we added in Deadpool to our mix, and you know, you wanted to make that like, you know, number one from everything, and you know, we kind of tempered you down a little bit, which was good.
Well, of what we have on that list so far, I'd be okay with it being number one. Actually, there were a couple of things I chose over that. Actually, mm-hmm. But you know, if you go to flickchart.com, if you've never used it before, go to flickchart.com/Eric, E-R-I-K, and that will give you my profile. If you're logged in, you can friend me that way, and mm-hmm. you can scroll down and see the movies I've ranked as my top movies. You can see all of the rankings of the movies. If you want to see an example of how a user has set up their Flickchart information, Lou, what's your account?
I actually just changed my name to Rogue One, so.
Oh, go figure.
Yeah, I wanted something movie related. I was going to do Logan 5, but it was already taken, so.
Okay.
I do have the Rogue One moniker now on Flickchart, and you can go check mine out. I just actually nuked my Flickchart a few months ago, so I do not have the thousands of rankings like I used to have. I only have about 600. It was getting a little. I wanted to make a change the way I was doing stuff, so I figured, you know, I'll just blow everything away and start from scratch.
I can understand that. I've wanted to do that before. I've never done it, but
it took me a while to pull the trigger. I was thinking to myself, oh, do I do it? Do I not do it? But, you know, sometimes I change my mind in how I rank things. And we talked about this on the last Flick Fights. You know, when I rank a movie, do I pick the one that I know is a better film, you know, from a film standpoint, or do I pick the one that I enjoyed more? And I know some days I've done it one way, some days I've done it the other way, so it makes my chart a little bit wonky. And I'm going to kind of go with one thought process of if there's any question about what I'm going to pick, I pick the one I enjoyed more. So,
right. Right.
My new stance on that.
What else do we have? I guess we're going to go over the movie draft stuff on Random Chatter, so I guess we should hop into the news?
Yeah, the movie draft stuff we definitely will cover. In fact, our first weekend of box office results is coming in, so
yeah,
pop over there and see how things are going.
Yeah,
and you know, somebody
who happens to be
very, very happy because actually our first story of the week here is Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, in its box office haul.
Oh, I wonder how it did.
I was wondering how it did too, and it actually didn't do as well as it was supposed to. I mean, they originally projected $170 million for the weekend, and they had to pull that back.
Wait a minute. No. Let's get the story straight here, Lou. Originally, they predicted $135.
Originally. Well, yeah, but after Friday, they projected $170 for the weekend.
They did,
and then
yeah.
They had to go, oh, wait, people didn't go in droves on Sunday, so we had to pull that back by about $4 million to $166.
See, you say that, like, okay, so
I'm just reading the news. It's all I'm doing.
One of the big things in the news, to jump ahead a little bit, is that there was a radical drop-off from Friday to Sunday. Like, a ridiculous drop-off.
Yeah.
But when you go through, and I wish I kept the article now, because I should have. I knew you were going to talk smack about it. I should have kept the article.
Well, I'm just reading the news.
Other big movies have also dropped significantly from Friday to Sunday, movies that were considered successes. And then there have been other movies that have been just bombs that didn't drop at all.
And I will give you this on top of that. I will even say that, you know, Sunday was a holiday.
Yeah.
So people may not go to the movies. They go out with family. You know,
Specifically, a holiday that is not known to be a big box office day.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'm just talking smack. I wanted to get your feathers a little ruffled.
And furthermore, I love when I get to do an "and furthermore." And furthermore, if you make a gazillion dollars on Friday and then nothing on Sunday, does it really matter? You had a gazillion-dollar opening weekend. I mean, like, if everybody goes Friday, then, mm-hmm. If you get $10 million on Friday, $10 million Saturday, $10 million Sunday, well, that's great. There was no drop-off. But if you had a really good day Friday and made $100 million on Friday, and then $10 million on Saturday and $10 million on... Oh, wow, 90% drop-off. Well, yeah, but you made, like, 10 times as much as the other film I just made an example of. How is that a failure? How is that a bad thing?
It's not a failure. I'm just trying to get you ruffled.
Uh-huh. You failed. I am not ruffled.
So it did $420 million globally, which is a very good take for opening weekend.
I'm a little ruffled. But
in March.
No, it's very good.
They said its Tuesday haul didn't do as well as some other big comic book movies in the past. Spider-Man 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, Man of Steel, Iron Man 3. Those all beat it. It did take in $12.2 million on Tuesday, which isn't too bad, you know, for a weekday.
No.
Now, you and I were both going to go see this tonight, and we didn't have a chance to. The timing of the movie showings didn't work out for us to be able to get back and record. But I did look at one of the theaters by me that has the reserve seating with the loungers and stuff this morning before we had talked, actually.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, they have a showing at 5:30. Well, let me see what seats are available for that, because I want to make sure we get something, you know, good kind of in the middle.
Right.
And I was surprised to see the entire theater was open. There was, like, no seats taken. I'm like, wow.
Really?
It's a little weird. Yeah, I was very surprised by that.
But, you know.
But it's a weekday. It's a Thursday.
Yes.
So, you know.
Very slow day. Very, very slow day for movies. In fact, I think it's the slowest day of the week for films.
Is it really?
I think so. I'd have to check. That's why a lot of theaters do, like, special event things on Tuesday and Thursday nights.
Mm-hmm.
So, Zep in the chat room, by the way, greetings to our, friend in Ireland there. Very happy you were able to join us.
He points out, chat room people, very savvy here.
Yeah. He says Batman versus Superman's going strong in my cinema. Crowds are good.
Cool.
So, and Carrie says I need to go see it at least once more. So there's someone who saw it and wants to go back.
Don't give Eric any more money. Don't put any, you know,
hey,
too many
fuel. Wait a minute.
What?
How much do you think I'm getting paid for this?
Oh, I thought my mic was on mute. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Trust me, if I got any actual money from this, I would be not podcasting out of my mom's basement.
Well, there's bragging rights here we need. That's what we're going for here.
Well, yeah. And the mom's basement thing, that was a joke. That was...
You see, I said at the opening of the
show, no April Fool's stuff. I have to watch what I say now because I can't say I'm not going to make any jokes. Anyway, so I was going to ask you what you thought of Batman versus Superman today, but I can't. But, you know, from what I've observed on Twitter, a lot of the critics are still continuing to pan the film, and very aggressively so. And a lot of just regular moviegoers that don't necessarily have any affiliation with a blog or an official movie review outlet seem to take to it okay. I mean, there are some complaints, and they were complaints that were fairly predictable, I think. But there's also been a lot of praise. People are saying that Wonder Woman was good, that Ben Affleck was phenomenal as Batman.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I've heard that he was both as Batman and as Bruce Wayne very believable.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is, people were complaining that this wasn't going to be R-rated. One of the biggest complaints about the film that I've seen that looks like a legitimate complaint is the body count is quite high, and apparently Batman is more violent than usual.
Okay.
In the sense that he kills people and doesn't seem to like think twice about it.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I mean, I am looking forward to going and seeing it. You know, all kidding aside about our movie draft thing, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm probably going to go Sunday. It's supposed to be kind of cold and nasty up here, so won't be doing any yard work yet, but I'll be going out to the movies, I hope, and seeing that. I'm looking forward to it.
My son's birthday is on Sunday. We're celebrating it most of the day. Saturday, I've got a meeting at work Sunday night. I might not get to see it this weekend at all. I don't know yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to do what I can. Anyway, we'll see. It's predicted there's going to be a massive drop off this weekend, though.
Well, you know, and I was reading some stuff about that online, too, about what they're projecting, and other movies that have done really well that were, you know, in that 160, 170 class of opening weekend were dropping by, you know, 60, 70, 80% drops. So it's not unheard of, and they still did respectably well. I mean, I don't know what Batman v Superman's budget was off the top of my head. So
I think they had to make about $900 million total in order to turn a profit.
That's worldwide.
Not the production. Yeah, worldwide. That's not the production budget. That's including the studios and the marketing and things like that. So I'd have to look up the production budget, but it sounds like it was a few hundred million.
Yeah, I mean... Is it conceivable to do that much globally? Yeah, I think so. I don't see any problem for that. You know, of what else has done, other, you know, comic movies has done, I think that's going to be well within its reach.
Yeah.
I mean, it's halfway there in the first weekend.
Yeah, it's one day behind The Dark Knight, I guess.
Okay.
As far as, like, how quickly it got to where it's at right now.
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm trying to find the thing about the dropping. Yeah, here it was. This is from Box Office Mojo. There's definitely a range where you're looking at previous releases. Like Twilight films, there was a 60 to 70% or 69 to 70% drop for all three films for the second weekend. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 dropped 72% in its second weekend. Hmm. So, you know, these are movies that did really well in the theaters and still... They talk about this big drop the following weekend, but it depends on what it's up against. There's really nothing coming up against Batman v Superman.
No, there's not.
This week, I mean, God Is Not Dead is the only other real wide release movie coming out.
Well, there's The Witch and Pandemic, but both.
But I don't think those are wide releases, though, I don't think.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, and even then, they're both kind of under the radar anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it might not drop off as badly as people think. I still overpaid for it on the movie draft, I know, but maybe not by that much.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, we'll talk about this more on Random Chatter as well. So,
yeah.
More news about Batman movies and Superman movies. There's a petition out there now for Zack Snyder to pull out of Justice League. I didn't really read the story yet. Did you go into this one at all and know what's going on with this?
Yeah, I found this over on Dark Horizons. And apparently there are a couple of petitions out there right now that are trying to get Zack Snyder removed not only from the upcoming Justice League movie, but from all future DC Universe films.
Wow. It's kind of harsh.
Yeah. The complaints are, I mean, basically what most of you guys have already read online. The pacing being a little bit too intense and it not really getting anywhere with the story. Dark Horizons is citing some reviews as calling it messy and incoherent, muddled narrative, etc. And people are upset, and I guess they're wanting Snyder out entirely.
Hmm.
So much so that they've started a petition. So they've already got a few thousand supporters. From what we've seen before, this sort of thing doesn't really work. I mean,
yeah, wasn't there, there was a petition about a Star Wars thing, wasn't there, at some point?
Yeah, Colin Trevorrow being removed from
episode Oh, that's right.
9.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yep. And, they, you know, I can't see any studio taking even, you know, 10,000 signatures on a petition seriously about something like this.
Well, the one for Colin Trevorrow off of episode 9 had 25,000 supporters.
And that didn't do anything
either.
And
that didn't do anything. Yeah. And, I mean, you know, the expanded universe from Star Wars still isn't back. Or Legends, I should say. And,
right, right.
You know, how many thousands of people did they have for that one, too? This is a good way to make your voice heard, but you have to keep in mind that when something breaks box office records in its opening weekend, it brings in between $160 and $170 million opening weekend. Even if you had 50,000 people on a petition,
mm-hmm.
which is more than 20 times what the petitions currently have, even if you had that many, you're a drop in the bucket. They brought in over $160 million opening weekend. This is falling on deaf ears. They would be stupid from a business perspective. They would be stupid.
Right.
To call this a failure.
Now, it might have an impact on the director. He might, you know, say, hey, let me make some changes, you know, if they're not far enough along in the process where they can. I could see that maybe having some sway. Say, well, you know, we really want to get you out of there because of these reasons. Well, maybe they can address the reasons out and make that better for themselves. You know, I'm not saying they would, but I can see somebody maybe taking that stance and saying, well, we could do this instead, you know, and make it better for the fans.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about this on Random Chatter. We've got we've got some various comic book related stuff to talk about, and this is one of those. So if we forget to come back to this point, Lou, remind me.
Because I'm so good at reminding you of stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I'll try that.
There's definitely more to say about this, though.
Yeah. You've got Apple TV, right?
I do, yes. I've got the new one that lets you download apps and play games.
Right, right. And do you play any games on your Apple TV?
Nope. And from the
Either.
From the sales records, the sales numbers, apparently nobody else does either.
I know. There's not many games out there.
No.
There's not many games coming up new each week when you see it. In fact, I don't even look for any games.
There are some that are pretty good, but, I mean, the people that have Apple TVs, it seems like the gamers already also have consoles,
mm-hmm.
and the people who are into casual gaming would rather do it on their phones anyway because they have their phones with them all the time.
Right. It's faster for me to pick up my phone, unlock it, and just start playing right away.
Right. Plus, the other person...
I like the concept of it, but, you know, if I'm going to play a game, I'm going to grab my headset, fire up my PS4, you know,
right.
and really do some gaming.
Right.
But now Disney had put out a version of Infinity 3.0 on the Apple TV.
Yes.
I hadn't played it on the Apple TV. I assume there was a, they said you could plug in playsets with it, right?
Yes. There was a starter kit you could buy that had not only the portal that you put the figures on, but also a traditional style game controller that would work via Bluetooth with the Apple TV.
Okay,
which is a good deal.
Good.
Now I've played it without the playsets, and I don't have I don't have a portal plugged into it. I know that the other portals for the other systems are just a straight USB jack, but I don't think that this Apple TV has USB. I think it's USB-C.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yep. So I don't think you could even use those with it anyway.
I wonder if you could get an adapter.
I don't know how the game is set up, whether it'll look for it that way or whether it's got to be. I think this other one that you can get is Bluetooth or something.
Okay. Well, I guess it really doesn't matter because Disney is abandoning it.
Well, that was fast.
Yeah, just a couple months into it, Disney has said they are no longer going to have any plans for any expansions and do anything else with Disney Infinity 3.0 on the Apple TV. Which doesn't mean, at first, when I first heard the story, I thought maybe Infinity 4.0 is coming out. I was being optimistic, and obviously it's not the case. They're not doing that. It's not coming to 4.0 yet. They will still develop for other platforms, PlayStation and Xbox, but the Apple TV seems to be dead. And this is a pretty big blow.
Existing content is still there.
Well, one of the articles I read said you may not be able to play it much longer. Did I misread that, or I thought I read it somewhere?
I don't know. I mean, I know there won't be any more updates, and you might not be able to download it from the App Store. But if you've already purchased it and have already downloaded it, you should be able to continue to play it. The way the App Store works is you have to pay $99 a year to be an Apple developer, and once you let that lapse and no longer pay that $99, Apple pulls all of your apps from the App Store. So they could be referring to that.
Well, this is the article from Touch Arcade, and it says, let's see here. It's disheartening news for Apple TV gaming. Disney has recently, in a customer support reply, that there are currently no plans for further updates to Apple TV version of Disney Infinity 3.0. Now, this doesn't likely impact Toy Box 3.0. But the Apple TV version is the full version of the game. It supports playsets and their specific gameplay styles, not just the sandbox creation that has the toy box. So unless something changes, if you bought playsets for the Apple TV version of the game, there is no guarantee any of them will work in the future, and some figures might not even work at all.
Okay, so here's my interpretation of that based on what I know of the Infinity system so far.
Okay.
And what I know of their plans for the future. Right now, they've not, there was Infinity 1, and then the following year, Infinity 2, and then the following year, Infinity 3. Just like what Skylanders have done every year, there's been a new iteration of Skylanders, etc. So there's not going to be an Infinity 4 anytime soon. They've got the Marvel stuff out, they've got the Star Wars stuff out. They feel like they've hit all the major franchises they need to hit. They've got a good game engine going right now. So what they announced recently is that future expansion, at least over the upcoming fiscal year, is going to be in the way of more playsets. So Disney Infinity version 3.0 is going to be the Disney Infinity for quite a while, at least an additional year beyond what we've seen so far. So what this is going to mean for Apple TV is that any playsets that currently work with it should continue working with it. But the next time they release a new playset, probably not going to work. Hmm. And if they release new characters, like recently they just released Baloo from Jungle Book and Nick and Judy from Zootopia, et cetera. So I don't know if those will work or not, but if they do work on the Apple TV, that's probably the last generation of figures that are going to work. So later on down the road when they release... I don't know. When they release the Rogue One Disney Infinity characters, they're not going to work with the Apple TV.
Well, the thing that got me about this was the sentence actually says, if you bought playsets for the Apple TV version of the game, there's no guarantee any of them will work in the future. They're talking about one specifically bought for the Apple TV version. So
I don't know. I think they're just making a blanket statement. I don't think there's any reason to believe that what you have now is going to stop working.
Yeah, that's what made me kind of scratch my head from reading the article, was if you already bought it, why wouldn't it continue to work?
Right.
I would hope that wouldn't be the case. I would hope that it wouldn't be, oh, sorry, the game you paid $35 for doesn't work at all now. So
as someone who officially holds an iOS certification with Apple, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that everything you have now should continue working.
Oh, that's right. You are certified, aren't you? Yes.
Yeah, that's what my
certified, certifiable, whatever. Yeah. There was an update at the end of this article, though, from Disney saying a spokesman said Disney continues. Yeah, boy, let me start that again. Disney continues to support the Apple TV as a platform for games, and fans will see new content from them throughout the year. So,
What that means is Disney Interactive will probably
not Infinity 3.0, but Disney as a company, right?
Right.
Because, I mean, Disney pulling out of the Apple TV doesn't bode well. I mean, a big player like that saying, we're not going to support the hardware anymore, that makes me worry. But if they're going to still do other games, well, maybe I'm not too worried about it. I'd like to see the platform take off and do better.
Yeah. Here's the thing. My understanding is if you develop an iOS game, it does not take much to then port it over to the Apple TV at all.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's a little bit of work in it, but it's not that difficult. For a big company like Disney Interactive, it's not a significant hurdle. So what's going to happen is the other Disney Interactive games, of which there are some really good ones, will continue to be developed for iOS. And the Apple TV runs a modified version of iOS. It's the same core system. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen is those games, should they decide that they're a good fit for the Apple TV, those will be continue to be available. I think it's just specifically Disney Infinity is going away.
Very cool. Let's see what else we have in the news here. Casting rumors for X-Men New Mutants. This is an animated show, I think, right?
No. This is going to be a live action.
This is?
Yeah, this is a live action film based on the, I think it was 1982 comic book series called The New Mutants, which eventually...
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I heard nothing about this, so why don't you take this story then?
Okay.
I was going down the wrong path here.
So a little bit of background. New Mutants, like I said, it was early 80s, I think. And it was started, oh my gosh, I want to say by Chris Claremont. Rob Liefeld at some point did the artwork for it. I don't know if he started with it or just picked it up later on. New Mutants number 98, first appearance of Deadpool.
You had to work Deadpool with this.
He's probably the best thing to have come out of the New Mutants. It had 100 issues, and then it stopped, and it transitioned into X-Force. So the idea was Cable was in charge of teaching these rogue new mutants how to deal with their powers, how to be a team, etc. And then they, like I said, as they were no longer became students and basically became an actual functioning superhero team, they called themselves X-Force instead. But these were more the misfits, the rogues that didn't really fit into Professor X's Institute for Higher Learning. Not quite as prim and proper.
Okay.
Cast-offs.
So is this going to be a feature film proper like, you know, the X-Men movies we've seen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I don't know exactly when. I don't remember what the timetable for this was. Alexandra Shipp, who's playing Storm in the X-Men Apocalypse movie that's coming out, apparently is going to have a significant role in this. I don't think she's going to be one of the primary characters, but her short time in the film will be significant. Professor X apparently is going to be there as well. But as far as the main characters, they've mentioned, I should pull up the article here because, well, the two cast members that they are rumored right now, I'll get to those first and then I'll get to the other characters that have been mentioned.
Okay.
And this is just rumor so far. This is courtesy of comingsoon.net. They're saying that Anya Taylor-Joy and Maisie Williams are both joining the cast. Now, Anya Taylor-Joy, I don't know that well. She's in The Witch, which is supposed to be coming out this weekend, but as you said, it might be limited release. I don't know if it's wide release or not. It has a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, so that's pretty good.
Bodes well, yep.
Yeah, I don't know much about her, but people seem to be pretty happy with her casting here. She's going to be playing Magic. Magic is a teenage girl who has a sword that basically, it's a magical sword, but her other mutant abilities basically is that she can control. It's basically like sorcery and stuff, but it's more a dark magic sort of thing. She grew up in the in Limbo, which is like this other reality, basically. So, you know, she comes with all of the mental issues that you could expect from resulting from that. She's also the little sister of Colossus.
Okay.
Ilyana Rasputin, I think, is her actual name.
Cool.
So, Maisie Williams, best known as Arya Stark from Game of Thrones.
Oh, nice.
She'll
nice,
be playing
yeah.
Wolfsbane, who is a feral character. She's how do you describe her? I mean, she's basically like half feral cat, half human.
Okay.
But she can at least early on, she could transform from one form to another. She wasn't like the beast who's always stuck in this big blue hairy form. Well, and she's not blue on top of that. Kind of feisty, temperamental, etc. A little bit of a stereotype character, but I mean, not a bad character. So other characters that have been mentioned: Cannonball, Mirage, and Sunspot.
I don't know any of them.
That's okay. Sunspot was in Days of Future Past, very briefly, I think in the opening section, the part that happens in the future.
Okay.
But yeah, most people are not going to know any of these characters, which is going to make this a bit of an interesting experiment. But then a lot of people didn't know Deadpool either.
Right. You know, and Guardians of the Galaxy as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. So this will be an interesting experiment, and honestly, it'll probably be a successful one. But we'll see. It's going to be directed by Josh Boone, who also directed The Fault in Our Stars, which was considered
pretty
good.
That did pretty
well,
yep.
Yeah.
Well, nice. Yeah, I don't see any date here either in the article, unfortunately, but keep our eyes open for that. That's good news, and we'll see if this can now reclaim, or something can reclaim, the highest grossing X-Men movie back away from Deadpool.
But you say that like that needs to be done.
No, I'm not saying, well, I'd like to see these movies do well. I think you always want the next movie to do better than the last movie.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to downgrade Deadpool at all, because I love the movie. But, you know, you want an X-Men movie to be
successful.
The head of the X-Men franchise, not a non-X-Men.
See, that's okay. I'm okay if this beats Deadpool, because then when Deadpool 2 comes out, it'll have something to trounce all over, and it'll make that one look all the better.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, see?
Okay. This story I thought was hysterical. I guess a 16-year-old boy has hacked the Steam gaming system. Or yeah. Gaming network, I guess. And he put up a video to promote a new game coming out that is a game to, quote-unquote, watch paint dry.
Yes.
I thought that was
the,
awesome.
The title of the game actually is Watch Paint
watch
Dry.
Watch Paint Dry, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was hysterical. Now, you know, it does raise some serious questions that, you know, a 16-year-old can hack into the system and how secure is everything else. It makes people kind of worry and think about what they're, you know, you put your credit card in there, you've done everything else. So now, you know, can a 16-year-old boy from out of nowhere just come along and steal everything from you? That's kind of worrisome.
Well, what I find really interesting about it is that based on the description of how he got into it, it wasn't all that difficult.
Really?
I mean, not anybody could probably do it, but you know, the progression of logic he used in how to discover this flaw, not the most complicated scenario in the world. I don't know that everybody would have thought of it, but I mean, it's a relatively simple, again, the technicalities of it might not be, but the progress of, oh, well, what if I try this? Oh, well, I bet I can use this to get into that. Hey, it works. I mean, it's like a 2 or 3 step thing, and boom, you're in. So the other problem is that he notified Steam, and apparently they just kind of ignored him.
Oh, bad move.
Yeah, and they didn't do anything about it. They didn't patch it up. They, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I guess after a while, I don't know, a month or something, he went and he posted this fake game, basically. and then people, I don't know, somehow it got around to Steam that there's this fake game up there, and they looked into it, and I guess they patched it now, but if they'd patched it in the first place... Now, the guy didn't actually, you know, he didn't steal credit card information. There's no reason to believe that anybody's personal information was stolen or leaked or anything like that. That's not the kind of hack this was. But it's more the fact that someone could post something up there, have you purchase it under false pretenses and get money from you. Even if they don't have your personal information, they have your cash.
Right.
You know, you bought something that's a joke. Quite literally in this case. Now, again, I don't think he made the game available for actual purchase either. He put it up as if it's something coming soon or something like that. But again, that's because this kid appears, based on what I'm reading in this article at Game Rant, to have had some integrity and didn't want to take it quite that far. But then, on the other hand, did want to make a point and bring this information to light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean... You hear this a lot where a hacker will do something and then notify the company, hey, I've found an exploit.
Right.
And if they do something about it, great. That's what they wanted to bring attention to. If they don't, then they go public with it, which I think is, you know, well and fine because, hey, we gave you the opportunity to patch this and make things right, and now you didn't do it, so now we're going to rat you out to everyone.
Yeah.
So, like you said, I think everything's secure as far as your money goes, but... You know, who knows what will happen down the road?
I just feel like, you know, all due respect to this kid, because maybe he's got some, like, really elite skills or something. I have no idea. But, again, the description of how this kid managed to find this exploit seemed frighteningly simple to me. I mean, we're not talking, like, you know, the top-notch guys at a white hat conference competing to, you know, break into some highly secure system or something. This seems like this kid was just bored one afternoon and was like, oh, hey, look at this. I mean, it really was... does not make me feel very confident with Steam right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But... Anyway,
well, something to keep our eyes on, and also keep an eye on your credit card statements. Always good to check those each month. Make sure nothing looks out of whack on there. So, you have a surprise for me this week.
I do.
I am waiting with bated breath to find out what the what were they thinking segment is this week, because you haven't told me. Now it's all a surprise. You're going to read these, and I'm going to be surprised by what's going on.
Yes. So, I did say at the top of this episode that there wouldn't be any April Fool's jokes. Everything we said in this episode would be true. That was not entirely true, because what we're going to do is I'm going to present you with a group of stories, and you have to identify which one of these is not true. You and I did this once before.
Oh, I hate these.
We had four different stories, and it turns out all four of them were actually true. So this time I had to pad it out a little bit. I've got six.
Oh, okay.
I've got six, and you have to choose which one is not true.
We do have
at least one thing in the show that is not true.
Okay, so of these six, five of them are legit, like real stories that, you know, what were they thinking, and one of them is totally false.
And you have to identify which ones are true and which ones are false.
Okay.
All right. Now, you may have heard some of these in the news already, so you might have, or seen them in the show notes or whatever, so you might have... a little bit of an idea on some of them, but I'm going to go through them here anyway. All right. First off, you remember Kanye?
How could I forget?
Our feature star of the What Were They Thinking segment. We need to have him on the show as a celebrity guest at some point.
The greatest artist in the world, right?
Yeah. Yes. In the greatest artist, quote, of all time.
That's right. I forgot the of all time thing.
Yes. So his Life of Pablo album, he released it on Tidal. He explained that it is a Tidal exclusive. It will never be available for purchase. His songs will never show up on iTunes or Amazon from this album. It's not going to be available on any other streaming systems like Spotify or anything. It's a Tidal exclusive. Except, a single for one of the songs, which is going to be available for sale this week on iTunes and Amazon. And so, except apparently for the whole album, which is coming to iTunes and Amazon.
Oh, really? Wow. So, that's that wasn't very long to turn that around. It was like it was out for years and before you released it.
And also on Spotify.
Ah.
Yeah. Well, so that's story number one.
Okay, now am I commenting on these as we go along, like whether I think it's real or not?
You may, if you would like. I'm not going to reveal it until we've gotten through all of them. Because I'll have to say,
I think the Kanye thing is true because he's just such a whack job.
Yeah. And it's not like he's ever never backpedaled before, like when he quit Twitter and then a few hours later was back on Twitter. Yeah. All right. Next up, Rock Band 4. You're familiar with the Rock Band and Guitar Hero series?
Okay. Yep.
And you know this last Guitar Hero thing, you know, they didn't have a lot of the songs from the previous versions available. People were a little up in arms about that. Well, Rock Band 4 is going to remedy this. They are going to offer every DLC song ever as a package. You can purchase the package of all of the songs they've ever had. So you can get the entire library of songs for $2,500.
I can't even respond to that.
$2,500 for the price of a high resolution 60-inch curved screen 4K television and a PS1 and an Xbox One and the VR headset for the PlayStation and every Rock Band game that's ever been released. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's story number two. Story number three. You remember Mythbusters, right?
Yes.
Okay. And it recently went off the air. I mean, Mythbusters was a very beloved television series. Its hosts are easily recognizable, partially because of the big mustache and goatee and all that. Anyway, very popular show. People are sad it's gone. Well, the Science Channel is going to be bringing it back. But it's going to have new hosts.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, the show was really about the hosts, but okay.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. There's also going to be a show about the hosts. See, the hosts for the show, Mythbusters, on the Science Channel, are going to be chosen via a reality television series. That's story number three.
Okay.
We have a couple of tech-related things here.
Oh, like gadgets and stuff?
Yeah, kind of a gadgety sort of thing.
Okay, I like gadgets.
I should be numbering these because I'm reading some of them out of order for dramatic effect here. Because we kind of had to lead with Kanye because, I mean, he's got a spot here on What Were They Thinking? And we don't normally cover tech, but in this case, we do have two tech stories. The first one, story number four, you can now get a juicer.
Okay, healthy.
Yeah, juicing is very popular right now. You throw in produce and fruit and vegetables, and you make a drink, hopefully one that tastes good based on the fruit content, but that also has the vitamins and nutrients that the vegetables do. And vegetables generally taste kind of bitter, so a lot of people don't like eating them. But juicing is a good way to make it so that you get everything you need, and it's healthier but still tastes okay too. Very popular thing. So you can get a juicer that has built-in Wi-Fi. For $6.99, you can get the Juicero. And it has built-in Wi-Fi. I still don't really know what the Wi-Fi is for because people were more upset about the fact that...
Well, Wi-Fi makes everything better. So, and I've got a 10 in my pocket, so I can get this for $6.99.
$699.
Oh.
Yeah, $700. Also... it only processes pre-juiced juice.
Huh?
Like you have to buy pre-packaged, pre-chopped produce for it to then process.
Okay.
For $700.
I think I've got a front runner right now.
All right. Next up, story number five in other tech news. A construction company was due to tear down a house in Texas that had been damaged from a it was either a hurricane or a tornado. And they pulled up the address on Google Maps, went to the house, tore it down. Then the resident of the house complained, saying that her house was not supposed to be torn down. And it turns out that Google Maps listed that house correctly, but also listed it incorrectly as this other house on a completely different street. And when the construction company went to pull up that house, it took them to this lady's house instead, and they tore her house down.
Come on.
And they couldn't be bothered to look at the street signs on the way to the house and realize that it wasn't even the right street. But wait, there's more. So she called up the company and complained, hoping to at least get an apology. And the president of the construction company told her that it's not their fault, that she can file a claim with her insurance company, and that it's going to be a messy fight.
It's customer service there.
Yeah, no kidding. And then finally, story number six. A man was arrested for not returning a VHS tape.
A VHS tape.
From 14 years ago. He rented Freddy Got Fingered from his local video store in 2002. Was pulled over recently for a traffic stop, and the cop realized that he had a warrant for his arrest. And asked him to step out of the car, placed him under arrest. Took him
for a videotape.
For not returning a videotape from 14 years ago. And the real crime is that it was Freddy Got Fingered. Which even I didn't watch.
Yeah, I didn't either.
All right, so those are the six stories.
Oh, God, give me the rundown again.
What were they thinking?
I'm losing track.
All right, so for those keeping track in our studio audience, we have Kanye's Life of Pablo, which is not going to be released anywhere except Tidal, especially not iTunes, Amazon, and Spotify, except when it's now coming on iTunes, Amazon, and Spotify. We have Rock Band 4 offering every DLC song ever for $2,500. The Science Channel bringing back Mythbusters, but with new hosts who will be selected as a result of winning a reality television show. We have a juicer for $700 that will only juice prepackaged juice, kind of like a Keurig thing, but for juicers. Oh, but it has Wi-Fi, so that's okay. A construction crew tears down the wrong house because they couldn't be bothered to look at the street sign of the house they were on, or of the street they were on. They looked it up in Google Maps, who had an error. And they tore down some woman's house who was perfectly fine. And then a man gets arrested for not returning a VHS tape to the rental store from 14 years ago.
Wow.
Five of these are correct. Lou.
These all sound plausible. Well, let's see. I'll start narrowing down.
Okay.
Take the juicer one out because I actually did see that article, so I know that's a real thing.
The juicer is real, yes.
Okay. The Kanye thing, take that up because, yeah, I'm sure he did that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's Kanye. It's not that hard to believe.
No.
So that one is also true.
Okay. So now I'm left with, let's see, the construction company. That one there, oh God, is that?
No Google searching.
I'm not.
Okay.
Hands are not even on the keyboard.
Okay, so we're left with the construction company.
Yeah.
The not returning the VHS tape leading to an arrest. Rock Band 4 offering all their DLC for $2,500. And Science Channel bringing back Mythbusters with new hosts chosen via reality TV.
Okay, the Mythbusters thing I think is true because that sounds like something TV would do. Let's do a reality show to pick new hosts for a show that was successful before and see if we can ruin it.
Okay.
So I think that one's true.
All right, that is true. They are bringing back Mythbusters and they're choosing the new hosts via reality TV series.
Okay, so now I got a 1 in 3 shot of getting this right now.
The bad part about doing the game this way is we're completely glossing over how ridiculous it is that they think they can bring back a successful TV series that was successful as much because of the host as it was the content of the show.
The host really made that show.
And that Kanye is an idiot. And that you can sell a $700 juicer that you can't even really juice with.
I wonder what the Wi-Fi does.
I don't know. Probably sells you ads for the juice.
Here's your ad for your juice.
Yeah.
So let's see. Either the videotape or the...
We have the DLC, the videotape, and the instructions.
What's the third one left, too? What's the last one?
The construction.
Oh, the construction. God. They all sound like it could be true.
Give me another true one.
Another true one. I'm going to say the construction thing.
The construction one is true, yes. That's actually from about a week ago.
It's just so bizarre. They tore down the wrong house.
Yeah, tore down the wrong house, and when the lady called, they were like, yeah, not our fault. It's Google's fault. That's your problem if you try to fight us on it. Good luck.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Okay, so either the videotape or the Rock Band thing. Ugh, these are both so bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
God, I want to say the videotape thing, but
Clock's ticking. Pick one.
I think the real one is the videotape thing.
You are correct.
Really? That was true?
Was actually arrested. The cop pulled him out of the car and he said, listen, this is going to sound really weird, but I guess I have to arrest you for this. The cop was just as confused as the guy was, apparently. And the guy's been pulled over for other traffic infringements since then. Like, not a lot of them, but, you know, he's been pulled over in the last 14 years and it never came up. But I guess it finally got processed into the system the right way. And
oh, Jesus.
Yeah, and the store obviously hasn't been around. It was a mom-and-pop video store. It hasn't been around for ages.
Can you imagine going to jail over that when the company is not even around and we moved on to digital downloads?
For a $5 rental.
Oh, my God.
For a movie that wasn't even worth the $5.
Well, it'd be something to tell your friends about. Hey, guess what I got arrested for this weekend? Oh, man, that's funny.
So that leaves the Rock Band 4 offering every song they've ever had for $2,500.
So if you didn't go $2,500, I might have bid on that one. You might have reeled me in.
It's true.
It's true?
It's true.
Yes. Seriously?
The April Fool's joke was that, once again, there was not a fake
one. Oh, my God.
That is true. They are actually offering every song they've ever had for $2,500.
How many songs?
I don't know, but... My
Can't
gosh,
that
people
many.
Probably already own these songs on MP3. You could buy, like, albums and vinyl of every one of these for less than that. Like I said, you could upgrade, you could throw out your entire existing home theater and rebuild it from scratch with almost top-of-the-line stuff. Maybe not totally top-of-the-line stuff, but I mean, like, a really nice entertainment system for $2,500. I don't get it.
I don't either. That is bizarre. $2,500.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Who would do that? You know who would do that? Kids Kanye. That have access to their parents' credit card that aren't paying for it.
Well, yeah. Them and Kanye, both.
Well, Kanye can't afford it. He's still looking for $50 million, isn't he?
That's true. Well, that's probably why he wants to borrow all of this money from...
he wants to get all the songs for Rock Band. Yeah. Awesome. Oh,
well, that's it for this week's.
That was fun. Thank you. That was awesome. I like that.
You know, we didn't get to record last week and we kind of had a backlog of things. And I thought, it'd be too good to throw these away. Each one of these is utterly ridiculous.
Pure gold.
Yeah. All right. Well, what do we have for? I guess we should do the lightning round really, really fast. OK, let me take a deep breath. Hold your comments until the end and then. Throw out whatever you want to say. Let me take a deep breath here. Robin Wright of House of Cards is going to be joining Blade Runner 2. Early reviews of CBS's Rush Hour television series are not very good at all. Warner Brothers has signed up the Goosebumps director for a new Dungeons & Dragons movie. Black Mirror Season 3, good show, by the way, will not show on the UK's Channel 4. It's going to be a Netflix exclusive. Minecraft PE, or Pocket Edition, is going to be getting mods and command blocks and more. That's a really big deal to bring it back in line with the desktop version.
Cool.
There are new Lego Batman teasers. Two of them broke this past week, so check those out. There's also a Voltron teaser for Netflix. It looks really awesome. It is different from the Netflix Voltron TV series of, I think, 3 years ago, which was pretty universally panned. This is an entirely different series. And WonderCon had a first look at Wayward Pines Season 2. I think it's available online now as well.
Hmm.
That's it for the lightning round.
Cool. Some good stuff there.
Little worried about Season 2 of Wayward Pines.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they're going to go with that, but we'll see. I enjoyed Season 1.
The first look gives you a good... I remember it is online now because I did watch it. It gives you kind of a good look at where they're going, the direction they're taking. I mean, in a vague sense. And it could work. It may be okay.
Okay, we'll see. I mean, I enjoyed the books, but the books went totally different than the TV show has, so...
Yeah.
We'll see. Let's see. Last week's box office results, we already discussed a little bit of this, but Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, raking in $166 million in domestic sales this week, in its first week. Zootopia is number two at $24 million, so a big drop from one to two there.
Yeah, but it's its fourth week.
Exactly, yeah. It's on the end of its run, so it's made $241 million in the 4 weeks, so that's pretty respectable for an animated film.
Mm-hmm.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, in its first week of release, made $17 million, almost 18, 17.9.
I know someone who saw that, and they said, and they didn't want to see it, and they said, you know, it really wasn't that bad.
Okay. I will wait till it's on video, maybe. I didn't see the first one, but my wife did. I think she liked it.
The first one also was not that bad. Yeah, it was okay.
Okay. Miracles from Heaven, which I know nothing about, in its second week, made $9.7 million. And Allegiant, the part of the Divergent series there, this is part one, I think, of the third book, made $9.4 million its second week, bringing its total to $46.5 million. I've got to think that's a disappointing take for that movie for 2 weeks.
Yes, in fact, I think that they revised the budget for the final movie in the series as a result of this. They've lowered the budget significantly.
Wow.
For the final
movie.
Yeah.
So those of you waiting to get the last part of the story may not get what you want. Oh, that's sad.
Well, you know, I read the books and didn't get what I wanted at the end too, so.
No, really, I haven't read the books, so.
Good books, but I thought the ending was a little bit of a cop-out, but, you know, the rest of the books, I mean, it was a good ride. You know, it was a good journey up until the end. I mean, you might like it. You've liked Stephen King books, and those are good right up until the non-ending. So, you'll do fine.
Okay.
Just don't read the last 20 pages, and it'll feel like Stephen King wrote it.
Nice.
Yeah, I saw an article about The Cell casting earlier today, which I'm probably going to see it because it's got John Cusack. It's got Lawrence Fishburne.
And this is that Stephen King book that you love, right?
I like John Cusack. Yeah, I'm hoping that maybe they'll actually have an ending for the movie.
I was going to say, maybe you finish the ending.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Although, you know, if anything, his books to movies and TV series don't usually follow the book very well.
True.
At least of late. You know, older stuff, I think, does do a good job of staying faithful to the source material. But the two things I've seen recently, series-wise at least, are not very close to the book at all.
You know, I just thought of something. Oh, no, I don't want to go to Netflix. I do this all the time. Flickchart. Flickchart.com. I just realized, I keep forgetting, there is a Stephen King movie that I have rated not only really well, but out of over 1,600 movies, it's in my top 10.
Really?
And it's not Shawshank Redemption, because I've never seen Shawshank Redemption.
Huh.
Yeah. Want to take a stab at what it is? It's also not The Shining.
Not The Shining, not The Shawshank Redemption.
No.
Let's see, what would you like him?
Yeah, people are going to roll their eyes probably when
they get Misery?
It. You know, I did like Misery, but no, it's not Misery. I'll let you think on that, and we'll come back to it. I'll go over the new releases this week.
Okay.
God's Not Dead 2, Meet the Blacks, The Witch, and Pandemic. Now, apparently The Witch and Pandemic, I guess you had been led to believe that they're limited release. I'll take your word for that. So, again, not a lot of competition for Batman versus Superman or Zootopia. I think they're still going to have the first and second spots this weekend, even if there is a big dip for each of them. On DVD, of course, we have The Force Awakens. I think at the top of the episode, we went over some of the variations that you can get. But you can pick that up on DVD, Blu-ray. I think a Blu-ray DVD digital combo. You can get digital download, obviously. I don't think it's in the ultra high def Blu-ray format, though that's probably coming soon. Also, The Identicals. It's not The Identicals. It's just Identicals. Same day, day and date release. It's in some theaters, but it's also on digital. Also is Get a Job. Is also day and date. That's the one with Anna Kendrick and Miles Teller. Yeah, on television. Archer is actually, I think it's on television right now. The next season, I think it's season 7. They are now opening a private investigation agency. So you can find that on FX. The Walking Dead season finale is this week. 12 Monkeys is coming back for its season premiere on April 18th. So that's coming in a little bit. In gaming news, Minecraft Story Mode Chapter 5 is now available. And I feel like there was something else more recent than The Division that I'm missing. I know the Wii U has the Pokemon tournament thing that just came out because I'm getting that for my son for his birthday this weekend. The Lego Force Awakens.
I hope he's not listening to the show. You just spoiled his birthday present.
Yeah, poor kid. Yeah, the Force Awakens Lego trailer. You should watch that and check it out. It's got some interesting changes to the Lego gameplay. I'm sure we're going to talk about that a little bit on the Sabacc table. But it improved enemy AI. The enemy can build things with bricks now. You can duck behind cover in combat. The combat's more complex. Now, when you build something with bricks, you can choose one of two different items that will affect the tactics you use, or probably more the strategy you use in a combat environment, etc. Looks like some pretty interesting updates. So, all right, so that's it for new releases this week. Before we sign off, one last chance to guess the movie based on a Stephen King story that is in my top 10 of all time. Out of over 1,600 films, it is not The Shawshank Redemption, it is not Misery, and it is not The Shining.
I was looking through a list of just Stephen King movies, and I don't see anything here that would lead me to believe that you would rank one of these really high.
Really high. I mean, to get in my top 20 is impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's some movies I've ranked it over. I've ranked it over The Dark Knight, Avengers Age of Ultron, Serenity.
Wow.
Back to the Future.
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
1408.
1408. What was that one? That wasn't was that the one with
John Cusack.
Okay, no, I was thinking of something else then. Okay.
Nope. So the story is he is a writer of horror fiction, and he's kind of washed up. He's doesn't really have much of a career anymore. So now he goes around and travels doing basically travel books on haunted houses in different areas of the country. So it's like a guidebook to staying at different haunted houses and stuff. And I mean, he basically is it's a throwaway career. His heart isn't really into it. It's just what he does to make a buck. So he's invited to this one hotel. I think it's in downtown New York City. And room 1408 is allegedly haunted. And he doesn't believe in any of these hauntings. You know, he's doing the whole, ooh, it's scary, you know. He's like totally not a believer in any of it. Samuel Jackson is the manager of the hotel. And so John Cusack checks in and stays overnight in room 1408. And that is basically the movie, his experience in this hotel room. And it's fascinating because we've talked before on various different podcasts how difficult it is for any actor to carry an entire film just by himself. Even when it's two actors, it's difficult for them to carry a whole movie. But for the most part, with the exception of early parts of the film where you've also got Samuel Jackson, it's John Cusack carrying this entire film and actually trying to convey a sense of urgency and desperation and all kinds of different emotions that he has to portray throughout the course of this film. And to some extent, the hotel room is almost a character, which is another nice thing about a film. You know, we talk about Serenity, the ship being a character, mm-hmm. or the Millennium Falcon being a character of sorts, although less so than something like Serenity, honestly. When you've got different things like that, that kind of almost take on a role in a story like this. Yeah, oh, the Green Mile, Carrie. Yeah, that would have been another good guess.
Mm-hmm.
Maximum Overdrive, Stand By Me, Pet Sematary is another
Stand By Me was going to be my guess, but I just didn't see you liking it that much. But
yeah,
I'll have to see 1408 because I don't not think I've seen that one. So.
And if you get it, borrow it for me because there's a theatrical cut and there's also a director's cut with a different ending.
Oh, cool. I like that.
And I go back and forth between which one's the better ending. They're significantly different as far as the resolution of the story. And I truly go back and forth between which one's my favorite. But yeah, it's number 9 on my all-time list of top 20 films. Not because it's the best film ever, but because I enjoy it so much. And I hate supernatural movies. Hate them. I almost never enjoy any of them. And this one, not only did I like it, and it's, I mean, the supernatural isn't really so much a thing, but just, oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
Very cool.
So there you go. That's my plug for this week. And, you know, we're going to go back, I think, on Random Chatter and talk about some older picks that I think people have maybe overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lou, you and I have a homework assignment. We need to go back and choose some films that maybe people have overlooked, and it might be some good recommendations for people to watch, either streaming or DVD or something. So,
sounds good. Yeah.
All right. Well, we want to hear from you guys. Let us know what you think of anything we've talked about in this episode. Send us an email, outerrim@randomchatter.com, and give us your thoughts.
And, of course, you can find us on social media as well, both Facebook and Twitter. We do have accounts for that. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. On Twitter, the feed for the podcast is Outer Rim Podcast. For me, it's at Lou Secchi. That's Lousecki. And for Eric, it's Erikbolythe. I know. I'm sorry. I don't know why I was
doing a CK there for a minute. Oh, you did that on purpose. I know you did. That's okay. Our Random Chatter Network Twitter account is also at Random Chatter.
Yes.
And honestly, it's going to be more active than the Outer Rim podcast Twitter account. So,
yeah, probably. Yep. Yeah.
I'll be upfront and honest with you. If you're following the Random Chatter one, that's where we post a lot of the news articles and links and stuff. Unless it's Star Wars related, and then it's Echo Base Podcast on Twitter. You can follow that as well. You can find all of these shows, though, over at randomchatter.com. Now we've got Random Chatter, Echo Base, Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. We just added the Retro Convo. Lots of great stuff over there. The Sabacc Table is back. So don't miss any of those shows. And also check out Flick Fights. You can find that over at flickchart.com/blog.
Yeah, definitely a lot of fun. And let people know about the show. If you get some friends that are into the same stuff you are, talk about us. Let them know where they can find us. You can leave reviews for us on both iTunes and Stitcher. That does help the show get good rankings on there, and more people will find us that way. And don't forget to listen live as well. You can listen live. We're on Tuesday and Thursday nights at 9:00. We try to start at 9:00, usually a little late, maybe 9:15.
Yeah, but we try to have something going on in the chat room or in the stream, even if we're running a little bit late. We put some music in or a video or something.
Definitely. And you can find that at randomchatter.com/live.
And a quick shout out to the people who have helped support us through Patreon. We've got Joel, Tim, Derek, Jeremy, Jared, Alex, Jeff. We really appreciate the support that you guys have given. And, you know, this money is going to go toward both equipment upgrades. It's going to go toward convention coverage. We are going to New York Comic Con this year. We've got some other trips planned. Some other expenses involved, too. We're looking at coming up with a brand new, completely redesigned app for mobile devices that will encapsulate both the podcast and the website and the live shows and notifications and maybe an exclusive Patreon section, all kinds of stuff. That's what the donations are going toward, operating expenses and other things that we can try to use to bring more content to you guys and bring more features. And also, as a result, the different perks that you can get for donating are of a similar vein. They're things that we're trying to give something back to you. And my personal favorite that has really, I think it's been a lot of fun so far, is anyone who donates at least $10 can join our Slack community. Slack is like a closed instant messaging system. It's kind of like a cross between Twitter and IRC.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook messaging, all of that kind of stuff combined. But you get access to the entire Random Chatter Network staff. There's, off the top of my head, there's probably about 10 of us. You've got some VIPs in there as well. I know Nathan Chase from Flickchart is also in there. And we just, you know, throughout any given day, we just talk. We talk movies. We talk TV shows. We talk things we find on the internet. I'm surprised at how active it is. And the Force Cast,
yeah,
movie Slack, it wasn't very active. And here it's like bursting at the seams. It's awesome.
We had a really good discussion today about last night's Rebels season finale.
Yes. Wow, that was good.
And I got raked over the coals the other day by not really liking Goonies.
Yes. Oh, that was fun. Yeah. And Joel in the chat room just mentioned Goonies as well. I was about to jump on it, but yeah. So, but that's the kind of thing that we do in Slack. It's a lot of fun, and it's a way that you can interact directly with us and engage us in just regular day-to-day conversations. So we're really glad to be able to bring that to you guys. We appreciate the support that everybody's given us. If you want more information on that and supporting the network, you can go to patreon.com/randomchatter. And that's it. That's it for this episode of The Outer Rim.
That's next week. Thanks for listening. And if you were here live, stay tuned. We'll have another show for you in a few minutes when we start the next recording.
Adios.
Thanks, everyone.
The Force will be with you always.